I want us this morning briefly to think of a phrase and a word in that portion we read of James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 14. Whereas ye know not what ye be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And is that question in the middle of that verse, what is your life? There are certain events, there are certain experiences which bring spiritual issues to bear upon our own souls. Things happen either involving us or around us which repeat and reinforce spiritual challenges that simply will not go away. And of course it is right and proper that they don't go away and that they are not squeezed out of our lives with all the pressure of other things that bear down upon us. Our Bible tells us and God speaks to us and he says that our lives are short and are frail even at their best. None of us is assured of tomorrow, of next month or of next year. And we know that to be true. But how often that message does not hit home as we would want it to be home. It doesn't disturb us as either it once did or we would want it to do. We've heard it so often. But there's no change in our routine or in what's going on round about us. So therefore we dismiss the message and the urgency of it. I want us to think back, as we say, to an event, Tuesday the 11th of September 2001. There were crowds on their way to work. It was a beautiful, clear, sunny, but sharp and crisp autumn morning. Like so many that had gone before. But at 8:47 a.m., clocks stopped. Meetings ended. The candle of life flickered and was snuffed out for so many people. 2,974 people were killed when these planes crashed into the Twin Towers in New York. What is your life? Now that might sound dramatic, but we might equally say it's a bit distant from us, and with the passing of time, the effect has weakened in its influence upon us. So let me come closer. Somebody walks into A&E Hospital late in the evening. They fall unconscious. And within 36 hours, they're dead. That's what hit hard. That's what brings home to us the reality of the shortness and the frailty of our lives. And if we are aware of that, surely wisdom would dictate, it would be a matter of plain common sense, that we put in place protection and that we cover ourselves and that we make ready for when our short and brief life is over. What is your life? Today people look upon their life and they think that it is in their own hands to a great extent, and they're in control of what is their life and what they are doing. And that breeds a certain degree of arrogance. Well, it's not going to happen to me. I'm going to plan things and I'm going to look after things this way, that thing and the next. And so they plan ahead as if life was sure and certain. And James is addressing that kind of thinking and outlook in his day and in ours. And he's giving to us and to them simple, very simple warnings. He thinks of the commercial strategy that we see all too often in our own society. And it was there in his day as well. People sitting down and planning in a company business. And they're planning the strategy over ahead for what they're going to achieve and do in the next set time. We're going to do this. We're going to take over that. We're going to expand this branch. We're going to break new ground there. We're going to work out the full cost of it. That's the expansion program. But perhaps today it's going in the other direction instead. We've got to cut costs. We've got to get rid of the so much expenditure. It means closing shops here and there and businesses winding down and people are made unemployed. Yes, people sitting down with commercial factors and business and making plans. But at the base and at the bottom of all of that thinking, and it's throughout our own society to a great extent, people are thinking just like this. My life belongs to me. We are trying to control so much of what's going on round about us. Oh, it's gone way beyond the little things that started it all, maybe. We are able, some people at least, we're able to control the colour of our hair. That's maybe the way it started. But now it's expanded and it's developed and it's run through so many different departments. We now want to control the shape of our body. We now want to rewind the aging process, if not try to stop it at least. We want to be able to press the pause button in the very prime days of our life. We assume so much about our life, about the choices that we have and the abilities that we think we're able to put into effect. We want to know. We plan ahead. One of the things that you hear so often in the present financial problem is security is comfort is in knowing what's going ahead. Anything uncertain leaves people feeling uncomfortable. But yet that uncertainty is the very truth that James confronts us with here. We don't know. We are not able to control. Not able to control tomorrow, far less a year. And we therefore need to spend more time in the company of our God. Not in the artificial world that man has created. And if we spend more time in the company of God, we will realize there and then what life and where life really is. One of the great blessings of Isaiah chapter 40, it's one of these chapters that we often go back to. And once we start reading it, we get into the theme of it and we have the mind. It influences us to a great extent. And yet that chapter 40 of Isaiah brings home to us the greatness of God and the smallness of man. Who are we? What are we? If we view ourselves against others, we have an inflated sense of our own importance. But if we view ourselves against God, then we have a realistic appreciation of who and what we really are. David, the psalmist, spent for much of his life. He was hounded and he was hunted and he was chased as an outlaw. He had to run from village to cave to town. It was unsettling for him, to say the least. But it had at least one effect very positively upon him. He spent a lot of his time in the company of his Lord and his God. And he saw there the true colours of what life really is. Psalm 31. Just to quote one of them. Psalm 31 at verse 14. I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thine hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. He was aware indeed of his life being in the hands of God. How many of us think just like that? Our Bible gives us, and God gives us, markers just to set our life in its true colours and its true proportion. What is your life? It's frail and it's short. Psalm 39 tells us our life is but like a handbreadth. It's just like a span. What's that compared, for example, Mars is 78 million kilometres away. The moon, the nearest in the heavenly sky. How far away is that compared to the span from your thumb to your little finger? And yet that's the way our life is in proportion to other measurements. What about the duration of our life? We think of days and the things we do and they fall out one after another. And yet Job tells us, our life is like a bird diving, stooping down on a prey, and it does that as quickly as possible. The peregrine falcon, it dives, it's measured at diving at speeds of up to 150 kilometers an hour, getting from the skies down on top of its prey as quickly as possible. Or what about the nature of our life? We think so often that our lives are so substantial, and yet here is James telling us it's like a vapor. There's an emptiness about it that we don't appreciate. Whenever you're flying and you're up above the clouds, out in the sun, and you look down on the top of the clouds, sometimes, just for a moment perhaps, you think, well, that looks solid and substantial. But really it's as flimsy as the vapor on a summer's morning. And that is our life. A true proportion and a true picture of it. Short and frail. But we've got to remember that it's a gift that's been given to us by God. Our time, yours and mine and everyone else's, it all comes in the same measure, in the same package, in the same quantities. An hour for me and anyone else is the same. A month is the same. A year is the same. It comes in the same measure to all people, high and low, in all ages. For young people, it seems to pass so quickly. For old people, it seems to drag so long. It is the gift that God gives to us. And he will require an explanation from us how we have spent it. And we do that sometimes almost without thought. It is a precious gift God has given to us. It is precious for several reasons. First of all, quite simply, our spiritual destiny is set and molded by our use of time here. Just this past week, There was a mountain rescue for 9 hours on the Ben. Mountain rescues, they come and go. But you think of being out at night and you want to light a flare. Just now you dig in your pockets and you can buy it, and matches are there in plenty. But if you're out in the hill and you've got one flare and you've got one match, how important and precious that one match is. Because it is the means of alerting others to where you are. Plenty here, but the way we use it is so important. Our spiritual destiny is set by our use of it. There are very serious effects come from our use of time. Our Bible tells us, and God brings it home to us very clearly, that there are two destinations and there are two paths. There is that narrow road that heads and leads to heaven, where we are at rest as we trust in the Saviour. Or there is that broad road that leads down into hell with all of its suffering and all of its pain and all of its anguish that will not and does not end. These are the two spiritual destinies and destinations that are before us. And the question is, where and to which is our life heading? If we set off on one path, we will not end up in another destination. If the destination board tells us that we're going down this road, that road leads to a certain place, then if we go down that road, then that's where we're going to. We will not end up in another place mystically and magically along the way. Our spiritual destiny, molded and set by how we respond and deal with spiritual interests now. And these are fearful consequences for our soul. Time, therefore, is short. And again, surely we see that in our present financial circumstances. When things get scarce, the price goes up. Whenever there is a crisis, the price of gold goes through the roof. When things get scarce, the price goes up. Time is short, but do we value it in that same way? There is so much to be done in preparation for eternity. And if we don't do it now, it will never be done. Time is short, therefore. The important tasks are there before us. We have no time to spare. Let us use well every opportunity that is given to us, and especially the privileges that God has given to us and the way in which He deals with us in His patience, speaking to us time and again, just like this morning, perhaps through a simple experience or event. At other times, bringing truth and principles to bear upon our minds and our souls, reminding us of things we've been taught and told years ago from places, other people. Let's not lose sight of these important truths. We can have the pressure of life. Things that we need to attend to can swamp us. They can deluge our lives and they can distract us from all of these important things. Don't let it happen. What is your life? What have we done and what have we achieved thus far in spiritual things? How much is still left undone? Time is short. And time is so uncertain. We so often lose the urgency, don't we? Well, I'll do it later. I'll do it another time and another place. And as soon as we start thinking like that, we're coming underneath what James is saying here. We've lost sight of just how frail our life is. And we think that we will have these days, and we think we'll have these days to do what we're planning and intending. Somebody walks into the hospital and 36 hours later they're dead. What plans did that person have? What were they wanting to achieve together? Where were they wanting to go? And none of it can now be done. There is that great uncertainty. The sand is going through the glass, and we don't know how many grains are left to us. And the few that might be left are all the more precious to us. Yes, what is your life? It is valuable, and it must be used well. When you're out in the desert, you've got limited water, maybe even just a little water left. These few drops that remain are so precious to you. So it is with life. We don't know how long we have, but all of us are going on and moving on, and therefore we see the grains going through the hourglass. And we can only, and it's a right assumption, we assume that there's so few left. Let us therefore count them as precious. And let us use them well. And let us remember that we cannot pause time. Yes, we try to press the pause button, and we try to freeze ourselves as we are, perhaps in the prime of youth. Let's try to keep these good looks and that good body shape forever. The vanity of cosmetics, trying to achieve the impossible. Time waits for no man. And so often we do something and we do it badly and we'll have another go. But we cannot do that with life. It comes and it marches on past us. We can never retrieve it again. Oh, I'll live my life, I'll do that again. This year's been a disaster, and we try to, that kind of thinking. We've got to realize that time marches on. That was the prayer we spoke about David and his experiences. Well, David has that very simple thought for us. In Psalm 19 at verse 12, he's asking God to teach him something. He's asking God to teach him the value and the length of his days. He didn't know how long they were, but he's asking that God would teach him to use them, men, how many of them there were, to use them well. We need to ask God to do the same for us, to use our days well, to sit down and to take stock and to count the days. Because if we don't count them, Psalm 90 tells us that God is. Maybe they're 70 years. Maybe they're 80 years. But God is counting them. And the prayer of the David is that he would count them also. And that's the prayer that we must have, that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. So think of time and our use of it then. What is our life? How are we using it? How much of it is gone? 50, 60, 70 or more years have gone. We thought at one moment fullness of life was there before us, but it so often passes by us. Look back. See what we've got and what we've done with what we've been given. And we find as we look back at so much of our life is empty. The things that we've gathered in life, you think of a sheep out in the hills, the fleece is heavy and thick. And it goes through all of the thorns and the briars and the mud and such like. And you can look at a sheep and the things that are stuck to the fleece can give you a fairly good assessment of where that sheep has been. Where it has lived its past days. It's there summarized briefly in the things that are stuck to its fleece. So it is with our own lives. The things that are stuck in our lives are a summary and a brief thumbnail sketch of how we have used our time. We need to therefore look back. And look back to gather together the good things which God has given us. The things He's taught us. And the knowledge He's given us. Things that have come home to us when the Bible has been opened up to us. Yes, we look at these things that are stuck to our lives to give a summary of where we've been. Well, let's apply the same thing and see what's stuck in our soul. And let's assess the privileges God has given us, the things He's taught us. The different sermons and different messages and texts and passages that perhaps have been opened up in a very vivid way in days gone by. And the immediate effect upon them now is still felt. We're beginning to remember and we're beginning to revisit things that God has given us long ago. How have we used these things? How have they molded us? All of the different impressions that we've got. The flesh and blood pictures. Perhaps of other Christians who have been before us. Perhaps members of our own family. Perhaps the time when someone sat and prayed with us. Or perhaps somebody was in tears and we were able to help them. That's the kind of vivid things that are important. That might be sticking in our soul this morning. But too easily we give up thinking about them. Too easily we put them and consign them in the memory until something like this comes and we're slow down. We're brought to a halt. And the Lord asks us the question, what is your life? Yes, there are your physical days. And we can write a book of where we've been, of all the places we've been to and the people we've met. That's the physical. Now the Lord asks, do the same about the spiritual. What is your spiritual life? The things that God has given you and shared, spoken and opened up to you. And what have you done with all that He's given to you? Count the days. That's what He's saying to us then. It's not just a matter of arithmetic. It's not just simply, well, I've had so many years and I don't have all that many left. That's not what Psalm 90 is talking about. What He's talking about there is using it for wisdom. Not theoretical knowledge. But the practical application of what the Bible is saying to us. What He's talking about is the way in which we've got to apply ourselves to spiritual truths. Apply ourselves to where we are and what God is showing to us and speaking about to us. Our length of days, yes. But what's the end of them? And are we prepared for them? Thinking of the brevity of life. But think also of the length of eternity. the grave will soon be our bed. Yet how often we turn away from that thought and fill our lives and our thinking with as much distraction as we can cram in. And God is saying to us, use well. Apply wisdom to the days that you've got left. The talent and the gift has been given by God. And at the end, He will require an explanation and account for everything He's given to us. So much of it has now gone. So little of it remains to us. The years and our resources, they're all going against us. Our mind has been soaked with the thinking of the world. Life has been taken up with the pressure of society. We're set in our ways. We need to assess the best use of our days. And what especially are we to do? The important things of our soul need to be at the forefront of our minds. Yes, we're all familiar with the historical details about the cross. But what about the personal interest of the cross? To be alone with God. That's what we need. To be alone with God and have God speak to us and tell us about our need. About our need of forgiveness. We're searching for it and we don't find that rest. We're far off from God. Sometimes we can be flippant. Sometimes we can be indifferent. Sometimes we can be openly hostile. And the Lord is taking us in task and in hand. And He's bringing us face to face with what we are and who we are. And He sets out before us, as we said, these two paths. And the requirements He sets before us. A broken and a contrite spirit. No confidence in ourselves. All our confidence set upon the Lord. And particularly the Lord sets before us the gift of His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who satisfied all the justice of heaven. And He has provided a wonderful forgiveness and pardon and way of life for His people. That's the message of the gospel. Look back over your life. Look back over your soul and see how many times that message is stuck. Stuck on your soul. Go back over the days, how often you've heard it. From different places and different people. But now it comes down to this simple question. What have you done with it? Paul, remember, preached a great sermon before Felix. It was powerful. It was personal. And the finger of God was placed clearly and plainly upon Felix's life. And yet he put it off for a convenient season. The night comes and the opportunity passes. What is your life? We have opportunity. Our minds are focused now. God is speaking to us now. We can have that same experience of being alone with God and God speaking with us as Felix did. How do we use these great privileges? Seek Him while He can be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Our lives will quickly pass. Time indeed is a brief span. And we hold things in our hand just for a short time. And soon we will leave this scene of time as a bird is frightened off the nest. We ask therefore the questions as we close. What have we done with what we've heard in the past days and years of our life. They're stuck to our life and our soul as the things are stuck to the fleece of a sheep. They're there not only to remind us of what we've been given and where we've been and what God has shared with us. They are there as things laid down in our memory for our good. That's our blessings and our privileges. But these very things that are stuck to our soul, these are the very things that the Lord is now going to gather together. What is your life? And these will all be gathered together in the hand of God and we'll be shown them. And the Lord will say to us, these are the things that you've had. These are the privileges you've been given. These are the messages you have heard. What have you done with them? Do you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? God speaks with us and addresses us on spiritual things this morning. He is telling us of urgent, vital things. Hold the rest of the world at arm's distance from you. Listen today as God comes beside each one of us, as God speaks to our soul about things that are vital and important. Perhaps we've been running and running for too long, and God is putting the brake on our life. And he stopped us in our tracks this morning with a simple question. What is your life? And we've got to make an assessment. And we've got to come to a conclusion. And we've got to look at things beyond the temporal and the material. And for the first time, perhaps, we've got to look at things from a bigger, wider picture, from an eternal spiritual perspective. Where are we on that scale of things? Your life, it's more than just simply things you gather and experience and collect. It's more than just simply physical. Your life, yours and mine, we are immortal souls. We have never dying souls. Where then will they be spent? The answer to that question comes out of the answer to this question. How are we spending our life? What is your life? Let us pray. Gracious Lord and God, as we have been confronted here this morning with solemn spiritual truths, may they be applied powerfully and personally to our hearts. May we realize, O Lord, who we are and what we are, and may our thinking be sharpened underneath the ministry of thy Spirit. And Lord, through thy word and thy word this morning to us, speak to us once again of spiritual destiny and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear us, Lord, and deal with us in thy mercy and in thy grace. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, and for his sake and glory. Amen. We close by singing from that psalm we were quoting, Psalm 90, and at verse 10. 80 do sum up our days and years we see, or if by reason of more strength than some 80 they be. Yet doth the strength of such old men but grief and labour prove, for it is soon cut off and we fly hence and soon remove. Who knows the power of thy wrath? According to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Lord, teach thou us our end and mind to bear, and so to count our days that we our hearts may still apply, to learn thy wisdom and thy truth, that we may live thereby.